I'm Zach.
And I'm Caitlin.
Welcome to Manipulating the Masses.
Don't give yourselves to brutes, men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines. You are not cattle. You, the people, have the power.
Yeah. Caitlin, we're back again. New week. Yeah. What do we got? What's going on in the news? What's something happening?
Right off the bat, have you heard of the drink called Poppy?
A soda?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I think I have.
It's a beautiful, bright... I'm laughing because we just said that I pop my mic a lot. And of course, I had to start off with Poppy and bright.
Poppy.
So Poppy is like, you'll see it in Whole Foods, and it's actually a probiotic soda. And it's like the beautiful, bright cans. They're like neon, and they have some sort of like bright pink and bright green watermelons or whatever it is, which is funny because they were actually like kind of a quasi competitor of an old client that we worked with, which was the non-alcoholic beverage company. So they just got slapped with a lawsuit because there's a class action complaint against the brand over false advertising of its prebiotic functionality. Poppies were labeled and marketed as a prebiotic soda made for, quote, healthy gut, noting the brand's slogan was be gut happy, be gut healthy. And then one can of Poppy soda contains 2 grams of fiber, which, according to the lawsuit, that's an amount far too low to cause any sort of meaningful gut health benefits. so a consumer would actually need to drink more than 4 Poppy sodas every single day for 21 days consecutively to even see potential results. And then even if the consumer were to actually do this, Poppy's high sugar content would offset most, if not all, of the supported gut health benefits. The Poppy website states that each can of its soda has at most 5 grams of sugar and contains agave inulin, which is, and apple cider vinegar, which are both said to work as prebiotic and probiotic. But research from 2022 found that consuming 7.5 grams of agave inulin daily for three weeks did not result in any meaningful prebiotic benefits. So there you have it.
Yeah. So their basic thing is, I mean, it's what we've talked about frequently, where it's like, if you're getting into health benefits, you better walk the line. Did they say it may cause healthy gut, or did they say this absolutely? Is that where they're getting? Because I feel like we've talked about it, the walking the line of saying this may do it, this may help you sleep, this may help you do this, is a lot safer.
I know. And it's funny you say that, because in the back of my mind, I was thinking as I was reading this is like, how did they even get this past the FDA originally if they were claiming something? Because they're pretty strict about it. Like, just ask the cannabis industry or the CBD industry. So I don't actually know that. But because on their website, they took down any remnants of like gut health. But their slogan was be gut happy, be gut healthy. So they kind of positioned their whole brand around the gut. So I think that the class action lawsuit has some legs.
Which just, it feels like they missed for me, because I've had one before and it's legitimately delicious. Like, it is a good drink.
That is funny you say that, because all the comments underneath was like, wait, people were actually buying Poppies for gut health? Like, they're just a good alternative to a Coca-Cola. I've actually never had one, though, I will say.
Oh, yeah, they're good. They're like, I sometimes like pick it up on a hot day, like when I'm in Whole Foods grocery shopping, and they're legitimately really good. I don't know why they would go into this like health benefit. Like, you missed the mark. You missed the mark on that
but
one.
But you also, in this day and age, you can't really just put out a new soda. Like, people are so anti-soda that they had to take a different avenue. Mm. It's a healthy soda. Maybe if they just marketed as like a healthy soda. I know that sounds so corny. So, you know, we could finagle that marketing slogan.
I don't know. I think people still buy it. I think it's almost like, you know, any other bad thing for you. Like, yeah, we know it's soda's not good for you, but people still, Coca-Cola is still a massive company and Pepsi's still a massive company. Like,
as long as they just like marketed, yeah, we're low sugar, then.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of like sparkling ice. Like, for whatever reason, sparkling ice is zero calories, but it tastes so fucking good. I love sparkling ice.
Well, maybe they got a class. Yeah, maybe they got a class action lawsuit.
But they're not. No, to your point, they're not like going down the gut health. Hey, we're the healthy alternative to it. They just put out a product and it's a sparkling beverage. That's this new wave I've decided is sparkling beverages.
Interesting, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There you have it. I love it. Well done. Well done. Yeah. I do have a quick, to add on to that, I do have a quick follow-up. We talked about the kicker from the Chiefs, Harrison Butker, I think is his name. We talked about him 2 weeks ago and his, let's call it just speech, his commencement speech where he told women.
Also known as Taylor Swift's boyfriend's colleague. Track that in your head.
Is he? Yeah. Is he? Okay, sure. If that's what he's known in your world,
Zach is so lost. Zach is so lost.
I'm like, okay, yeah, sure, whatever you say. But they got in hot water because he said, you know, congratulations, women, on your degree. Now get back in the kitchen. Paraphrasing, but that's essentially what he said. So I did notice in my, I've said this a few times. I hate watch Fox News sometimes just to see what they're saying, and they had an interesting segment. This morning, where follow this in your head, Harrison Butker's boss, the CEO of the Kansas City Chiefs, sent out his daughters, his two daughters, to Fox News to do a segment on why family values are so vital and why they feel that it's important. What Harrison said that having a mother in home is a part of their child upbringing and why family values is crucial in all aspects of life. So my question for you, Caitlin, is this is kind of a common trope now where men say dumb things about women and then they send out women in their life to go defend. I mean, to send your daughters is a fucking move. That's a move. But what's your gut to that? Like, what's your gut health on that?
What's my gut health? My natural reaction was gross. I actually went through a whole wave of emotions just now because I thought you were going in a direction that the CEO came down on him and went ahead and took the progressive route and sent out his daughters. But then you said Fox News. And then I kind of went back to my depression pit. Yeah, I mean, it's gross. Yep. And it's also, I am doing a lot of work on my own brand of feminism. So it's so not intersectional feminist. It does, because there's a whole part of society that needs to fucking work. You don't have the option to just sit in the kitchen and be a homemaker. So to say that, you know, it was so valuable to have a mother at home. Cool. Like, fucking cool. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of people don't get that option. So to just call yourself out.
To your point, they were, and this is mean of me to say, but I'm going to say it. They looked like the most privileged people I've ever met in my entire life. Like, they did segment playing pickleball in full white tennis outfits. They're very attractive young women, and they're just like, it's like the Fox News, like, bread and butter. Like, oh, dude, it was bad. It was bad.
Is it like a Tommy Lahiren duplicate? That's what I have in my head. Yes. Is that her name, Tommy?
Yes.
Or is it Tammy? Tommy.
Yeah. Don't care. I knew it. But I know who you're talking about.
That is their brand. Yes. That's Fox News' brand of woman.
Yes, it is.
Blue-eyed doe. Yep.
we talked about the Fox News marketing, and he was the one, the Roger Ailes, the creation was the, he had the women all wear, like, they had wide shots when they were reporting, so you could, and clear tables so you could see their legs. That was like part of the news for him. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. It was wild. Go back and listen to that episode if you're interested. But Will, your specific brand of feminism is a great segue into our main story today, the marketing of weddings. And I actually went into the news before, but let me hit you with a quick fire question before we get into the actual marketing of weddings. Is, if you're comfortable saying, Caitlin, you can give us a ballpark. How much did your wedding cost? You got married last year. Follow-up question, was it worth it? So how much did it cost, and was the price tag worth it?
Oh, man. I have so many feelings about this. Mm. I was married in 2021, so now it's been 3 years. I know 3 years feels like 1 year in marketing language.
My God, yeah.
It really does. I spent $50,000.
That's average.
Okay, yeah, I was like kind of waiting for your reaction, and it was,
you're a little above the average. But it's not crazy. That's not crazy anymore.
So that was just the wedding, and then we probably spent $10,000 on the reception, and of course, anyways. So yeah, I don't know. Yeah, $50,000 to $60,000.
So you're saying $50,000 to $60,000. Was it worth it?
Okay, now this is where I have a lot of feelings, because I had one of the best weekends of my life. Absolutely. Okay. I mean, we did it really well, where we had kind of a quote unquote destination wedding, but we made it not that expensive for people. So we chose a hotel that was really accommodating, that was really affordable for, it was really important because my husband's family's in Seattle, mine's in California. It was really important that we made it accommodating to everybody. And it wasn't just like this huge expense, like, hey, fly everyone to Mexico. We didn't want that.
Yeah.
And then with that, we were able to spend the whole weekend with everybody. So there wasn't a lot of pressure on my wedding day to make sure I visited every single person and like made sure I talked to all the tables and say thank you. Like, I had the whole weekend to do that. And I am proud of myself, because even one of my best friends was like, I envy the way that you did that. Like, you made sure to spend time with every single person that was at that wedding. So,
great.
So we did it. That's how we did it. And again, I loved everything about my wedding, and I'm so thankful that we were able to put that on.
It feels like you're qualifying a big old butt right now. Yeah.
There's a butt. Did it have anything? Did it have anything to do with the sanctity of my marriage? 1000% no. It had nothing to do with the love of me and my husband. In fact, we've only been married for 3 years. Feels like 3 days. 3 years.
Feels like that. Yep.
And we're already talking about like renewing, like doing our own ceremony. Mm. Just the two of us.
Yeah.
That actually like means something. And even like my ring, and this, I'm very conflicted, because again, I love my ring, and I talk about it when we go over the diamonds episode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love my ring, but it was all based off of like a Pinterest mood board. And like, does my ring actually mean anything to me, or am I wearing it because it means something else to somebody on the street that sees me and sees my ring and is like, oh, she's worth something, you know? And I'm very conflicted with that. So 3 years later, $50,000. Oh God. It was just such a beautiful time. But it's not marriage. It meant nothing in terms of marriage.
Yeah. It was a celebration. Yeah. So in your long answer, no. It was the event was worth it. The price tag was not worth it. Is that basically your summary?
It's difficult because we even did everything like we didn't go above and beyond for anything. We kept everything very like, I don't know, middle ground. Yeah. My florals, I tried to even get like dried florals so I could cut the cost on floor. Like, give me the dead ones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like day old bread, but with flowers. Yeah, okay.
Exactly. Gotcha. Give me the day old. Uh-huh. Give me the one from the wedding that just happened before me. I'm happy with it.
That's brilliant. Thrifting flowers. That's a great idea.
That is a great idea. But the meals, you know, are going to cost something. It's about $150 a head. So I don't even want to say like the price tag was not worth the event, because we couldn't have done it cheaper and we didn't want to do it more expensive. But like, should people have this extravagant celebration and call it a wedding? No, like just say you're throwing a party and you want really beautiful photos of yourself and call it a day.
Well, you know what? As usual, Caitlin, you have set me up perfectly. I think all of the things, you have little nuggets in there. I think you're, and but to your point, you hate to be like on trend with everybody else, but you're pretty much on trend.
I do. As far as
like the idea. I know you hate
that. You told me one day.
Yeah,
you told me one time to just lean into it. So here I am leaning in.
You're good. Good. You have to. And I think don't fight it. Don't fight it at this point. So let's go in. Let's go in and explain why Caitlin is the target demographic and has come to many of the same conclusions. Let me get you my five fantastic facts. To your point, what we talked about, the average cost of the wedding, a wedding in the US, is at $33,000. So the average cost across all states, $33,000. So I said you're a touch above, but it's very dependent on location and states. You had yours in California, which is on the more expensive end. Ones in Utah, I thought, were the cheapest. I saw like a list. So depending on where you went to California. I think you're right on par. But the big thing is, just like 3 years ago in 2021, the average was $28,000. So it's gone up even in the last 3 years, 2 years, it's gone up significantly. And it's looking to continue that trend moving forward. Last year, there was 2.5 million weddings in the U.S., amounting to about $178 billion spent in the wedding industry. $178 billion. I read some forecasting numbers, and they're expecting that number to grow to $646 billion by 2032. So essentially in 8 years, it's going to grow by about $500 billion a year.
I'm disappointed that I thought with my whole chest that we would see a decline, because everyone was maybe feeling the same way I did, you know, like this is all for Pinterest, this is all for Instagram, and now we're kind of wisening up to it. Although I will say I'm on the other side of having a wedding. Maybe if I was on.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. The stat that I love, the other, and you set me up perfectly again, is that the average person's first wedding is $33,000. But when they take that out and they go through people's second weddings, it is, the average is $14,000. So it's cut in by over half. And I think that's my point, is like people realize, hey, is all of this stuff really worth it? Or do I want to just have a nice ceremony?
I think a lot of that will have to do with the guest list too. I think on your first wedding, you're like, I want my like grade school crush to see me in my wedding dress and looking the best that I absolutely can. Like, you're inviting everybody.
Was that a real life situation where you really, you're like, dude, I want to, and the exes, you're like, I just want to see them. I want to see them see me. Yeah. That's what I want.
Yes. Yes.
Fair enough. So fair enough.
I think that's kind of the purpose of your first wedding, is just to be seen. And then by the second one, you're like, God, do I really need to invite my second cousin who was twice divorced and is now living in Missouri? No.
No, I think you're right. And to the point, that's when we talk about what's looking like looking ahead in the wedding industry. That is what people are doing, cutting back on their guest list, because everything else as far as pricing is out of their control. Everything, everybody else is jacking up prices. The one thing in your control is how many people are at the wedding to pay for. So, yep, I'm with you there.
Now I don't feel so bad for saying no's to future weddings. Like, yep, I'm doing you a favor. I'm saving you money.
Yes, I would appreciate that 1,000,000% in my life. I'd be like, hell fucking yes. Like, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know me. I'd be like, yeah, why are we doing this? Anyway. So, and this kind of puts it all into context, right? There's so much more money being spent at weddings, but wedding rates have plummeted since the year 2000. So like in 2000, this is a hard stat, but follow me, is like 49 out of every 1,000 unmarried women got married, right? So they got married that year. So 49 out of 1,000. Now it's in 2023, 32 out of 1,000. So it's dropped the marriage rates. It just spiked this last year just a little bit, but it has been on a pretty steady decline since the 1970s. It has been rapid. Marriage rates are dropping. Silver lining, as marriage rate drops, divorce rates have been dropping pretty steadily as well. So, you know, it's, I don't know, chicken and egg, is it divorce, more marriages equals more divorce, or are people just being more choosy about their marriage and it's creating longer lasting relationships?
No, I think that's one in the same. I absolutely think that is synonymous with each other.
Yeah, I think it's, so people are making the right decisions. They're just spending a lot of fucking money doing it. And then just out of pure interest, I pulled my last fantastic fact is, can you, Caitlin, give me, as far as marriage rates go, give me the state that you think has the highest marriage rate out of people that living in that state. There's a state that like stands alone as having the highest marriage rate continually.
I'm going to go religion and say Utah.
Oh, you nailed it. Yes.
100%. Fuck yeah, I'm so 100%.
Validated. Yeah, Utah. It goes Utah is number one, Nebraska number two, Wyoming number three, Colorado number four, which I was surprised about, and then South Carolina number five. All with the, I mean, Denver is kind of an anomaly, but outskirts of Colorado, all very religious oriented communities. And I think that's part of the marriage decline as well, is religion is on the decline, marriage is on the decline, but divorce is on the decline too. So take that, Pastor Frederick. I just made up a name. I don't want to call
childhood pastor.
So, let's kind of talk about how we got here and why this is important. You mentioned Pinterest. We're going to talk about Pinterest quite a bit today. Pinterest released like a report. They have a 2024 wedding report that they give to all these advertisers to try to get advertisers to spend money, showcasing what is why it's important to bid on weddings. And they said there was last year 1 billion pins on Pinterest and 57 million boards created specifically around weddings. So those of you not attuned to Pinterest, you go on there, you see images, you can like pin them to save them or create a board and pin a bunch of different images in there. It kind of serves as like a planning collage, like a dream book, whatever you want it to be. Lots of activity for weddings and Pinterest. Why do you think on Pinterest, Caitlin?
No notes.
Do you have any?
No notes.
No notes? Okay. So these boards are dedicated to every aspect of the weddings. Dresses, venues, flowers, bridesmaids' dresses, makeup artists, centerpieces, photographers, videographers, DJs, favors, catering.
Makeup.
Officiants.
Did you say makeup?
Makeup. Yep, makeup. Oh. Yep, makeup. And anybody, as you know, like you're nodding your head, anybody that's been through the process of the wedding knows that's just a sliver of the list, right? So what we're going to talk about is like with marriage rates declining, the entire industry that has been built around this is trying to save their own bottom line. They're trying to keep their profits up. So they are just jacking up prices for all of this stuff at an astronomical rate. Caitlin, it's kind of like a chicken and an egg. And this is my question to you is, do you think less marriages are forcing services to charge more? Mm. Or do you think the increased cost of the wedding is discouraging people from getting married? Do you see what I'm saying? Marriage rates are low, so vendors are charging more, but now vendors are charging so much that people are discouraged. Like, how is that? What are your thoughts on that, having been through the process?
If I were to hypothesize with no prior background or data set to go off of, so this is purely just a hypothesis, I think that it's generational. And I think millennials were kind of the first to be introduced to Pinterest, and they just went so hard so hard on weddings and the wedding industry. And then Gen Z comes in, as Gen Zers do, and they're like, ew, millennials are cringy and they're getting married. I want to do the opposite of what the millennial is doing. So I truly think it's a generation thing where Gen Z is just kind of like, no, I'm not subscribing to any sort of societal expectations. Like, I'm doing my own thing. This is, oh, it could be too, maybe like gender fluidity has something to do with it potentially, where it's like a lot less male female relationships. I don't know.
Well, I think they're getting married as I think maybe you're onto something, but I think the big point is saying the increased cost isn't deterring people.
Correct. That's what I think.
Because it's pay for it. This is how they're making their money. This is your dream wedding. This is the idea that mass media, and we'll get into it, social media has sold you. So it's almost like pay whatever it takes.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
and that is why they're able to get away with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's the media's version of your dream. So somebody sold you a dream and millennials were like, yep, I'm buying into this. How much? Who do I write the check to? And Gen Z is like, no, nobody can sell me my dream.
I love it. And I just want to emphasize the cost. So they did a great report. I found this great report. It broke down the costs of like a line items of a wedding, you know, because some of our listeners might have not been married in a while and some might be planning. And I just pulled out flowers. I think I've stated before how I feel about flowers in my personal life, but I won't go down that road again. But this is Caitlin, where I would just snap in half.
Break. Is this an average?
Yes, it's an average.
An average cost of how much flowers cost?
Yes, but I have it broken out by like individual line item of all of the ridiculous fucking stupid things. But yeah, give me a guess. What do you think it is?
For flowers?
Yeah.
Average $10,000.
It's coming in lower than that, but it's still just a touch. It's, my mind snaps, Caitlin.
I cheated because I've been through this.
I would not accept. No. The fact that I saw this and I was just on flowers and I'm like, fuck everything about this institution. I don't want it. I don't need it. Who the fuck cares? They're flowers. I'm not going to get into it. I'm going to get into it. They die. You're going to spend $10,000 on something that's going to die. Can't do it. Can't do it.
I'm cheating because I've been through this process, but I stand by you that flowers were one of the biggest sticker shocks to me. And I felt all the same feelings as you. And I actually like flowers. A big thing too was like me, I try as best I can to be sustainable, and to purchase $10,000 worth of flowers that are probably not in season, right? Like you're probably sourcing florals from Mexico because you want them to be tropical and colorful. So just the carbon footprint of getting those flowers to Joshua Tree in California for you is insane. And then not only the carbon footprint of that, but growing them, they're growing birds of paradise in Mexico and wasting an ungodly amount of water. And then the last thing is you have them for 6 hours and you have all these beautiful florals and they go to waste. And people, especially the floral industry, will convince you like, oh, we recycle them and there's different institutions. Like, we'll take them to the hospital. We'll take them to St. Mary's so people can enjoy them.
Okay.
Which they probably do, but like still, it's like, but you're still wasting all of those florals that you just had shipped from Mexico. So I fully will get angry at florals with you. I stand by that. And that is why I tried to do dead florals.
I feel like that's even better. Like there's no fucking way. Okay. Because it pisses me off. I'm just going to read it. Brian, you can let me know if off the top of your head, you can say yours was higher or lower than the average.
Okay.
Bridal bouquet bridal bouquet, $250.
That I don't know. I don't know the line items. Okay.
That's fine. Yeah, of course, if you're spending 10 grand, you're like, just, I don't give a fuck about the line items. $250 for a bridal bouquet that you have, again, as Caitlin said, for 6 hours, that you literally toss away in the reception. You pay that money and you literally throw it to a bunch of other people so they can snag it out of the, bridesmaid's bouquet, $80 a pop. Boutonniere, $20. Pin-on corsage, $25. Wrist corsage, $30. Reception flowers, $450. Flower girl petals, $25 per bag. Ceremony structures, they're averaging at about $3,000 for like the one-time use of that ceremony structure. Altar flowers, $150. Arrangement next to the sign-in book, $200. Arrangement next to place card, $75. Head table flowers, $1,500. Sweetheart table decor, $500. What is cake flowers, Caitlin? What is cake flowers?
It's literally what you say, what you think it is. Yeah, it's cake florals flowers, you put on the cake.
It's $150 for that. Just for you're going to take them off to eat the cake.
And hey, also, like, why? Why? Like, why actually why? Is the biggest question.
Why? Why?
We didn't
because
even
you saw
have
it
a
on
cake.
Fucking Pinterest. Yeah, we got good. You don't need one. Fuck it. Okay, flower, and then a flower crown, $100. Whoa.
The thing is, like, when you say that a bride's bouquet is $250, that's pretty on par with like what you would buy. Well, it's more expensive, but like if you bought a nice bouquet from a florist, you're spending $150 on that. Yeah, so to me, that like doesn't seem bucks. Unreasonable. Mm-hmm. But just everything together is adding up. Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah. We didn't have cake flowers.
The bouquet gets me because like specifically for a wedding, like you're holding it, walking down the aisle, and then you hand it to your maid of honor and then you're done. And then you throw it like buying like $150, like nice bouquet of flowers that you're bringing home. Sure, I'll give you that one, but you're going to put it in water and you're going to put it in a vase. It's going to stay in your home. You know, like that one seems as functional as flowers get to me.
I will say that like brides do typically keep their bouquet. I don't know where mine went.
Do they have another one that they throw? Do they have another? No. Do they have a throwing bouquet?
Oh no, but I think after it's thrown, like they give it back.
I don't understand that. What the fuck? What? Okay, so you just throw it and it's going to get ripped apart by single women tearing at it so they could live up to some mythological tradition that the next person that catches it is going to get married? Like, what is this? I have so many gripes with weddings. Do you know the reason why they have bridesmaids, Caitlin? Do you know the reason why they have bridesmaids?
Yes, I do. You've told me on this podcast. But can I just say too, like, your interpretation of what you think bridesmaids do when they get like the bouquet thrown behind them, like the picture of people ripping it apart, like, let me just set the record straight that that does not happen. People do.
Yes, it does.
I don't.
Yes, it does, Caitlin. I've seen it happen at multiple weddings. I've seen it where like two girls there's not like a, oh, I'll let you have it. They're just going for it because either they think it's funny or they whatever. They, I don't know, but they go for it and then they pull it and it's ripped in half.
That's
I've seen
funny.
That multiple times.
All the weddings that I've been to, maybe people are just already married at the weddings that I've been to. And like when it's time to line up and like catch the bouquet, like nobody's actually like wanting to do that.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Maybe we just got married a little later in life.
Midwest weddings are a little bit different. I would say Midwest weddings, they're maybe a little bit different.
In California, they're too cool. We're too cool for that.
Yeah,
clearly.
They're like, we don't want that. Midwest, they're like, I believe in superstition. And they're like, they go hard at it. I think that just price is wild. And that's where I think why we wanted to talk about this. Like, how did we get here? What is really happening in our society, in the marketing world, that is letting people accept these prices, pay these prices, and allowing vendors to charge these kind of prices. So my question, as we set up, let's go back and kind of look at weddings and the importance and how we got here. But my question to you as we get into that, Caitlin, is when did you start like planning your wedding, like ideating your wedding? Not so much like, was it as you were young? Was it, were you one of those girls that like had a wedding book? Like what was it that when you started like getting ideas for your wedding?
At first I laughed because I was like literally day one of my existence. I've never, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I remember
you were young.
I think so. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't like fixated on it by any means. It was just like, oh,
cool. No.
I didn't have a wedding book or anything like that. But I will say, so a couple of my friends got married before I did, and I still didn't have like a Pinterest board going or anything. And at that point I was dating my husband. I'd probably say like maybe 2 or 3 years into our relationship was when I started like, I didn't want to get too far ahead of myself either. Like I didn't want to work myself up being like, look at this beautiful Pinterest board. And then him and I break up. And then it's like, okay, I don't want to get excited over something that might not even happen. So I don't know. I think that's
a very sane response, Caitlin. I think that's a very sane response. Is like you found your partner and then you really started to plan your wedding. I know multiple people that have no idea. They're not even dating someone, but they have all of their wedding stuff organized. This is what I want. They're in love with the idea of a wedding without having the person to actually get married to. And I think that is a core systemic issue in our society. You know, and like if we're looking back, like when did this really become a thing, right? We all know like marriage used to be like a business transaction, right? Mm-hmm. Back in colonial times, it was like you get property, I'll give you 30 cows, give me your daughter. And then I learned this though, but the women would actually have to like sign over all of their legal rights. Like they did not become individuals. They were property of their husbands. Weird. Did not like that. But it wasn't until like the 70s that we started to see like the emergence of what we now consider like a wedding as a festive time and like a bring in all the family, right? Or in part like the quote unquote wedding industry really started emerging in the 70s. There was like a great article written on BuzzFeed by Meg Keen. She actually analyzed, she had all the receipts from her parents' wedding in 1974. And like she had just got married. And so like she did like this direct analysis of like what it cost in 1974, what it costs in 2017 when she wrote the article, and then what that increase is compared to like inflation. And I think it shows the wedding industry is growing. So like basic inflation increase in 1974, if you had $10, Caitlin, in 1974, that would be the same as having $49 in 2017. So it's like a 390% increase in just the average cost of everything. Here's some facts Meg analyzed. The ceremony in 1974 for her parents was $250. Her cost was $2,300 just for the ceremony. That's an 820% increase rather than the 390 of basic inflation. Flowers, to get back to this, her parents cost $50 for the entire flower arrangements. Hers cost, and she went cheap, $1,400. She's like bare bones wedding. That's a 2,700% increase for fucking dead plants. I'm not going to get over it. The other major one is photography. They had a photographer at the 1974 wedding, $50 for them. Her cost was $2,500, which I think is a deal for a wedding photographer, but that's still a 4,900% increase. And then the sheer just gown, the bridal gown, her mom's cost $195, hers cost $1,900, which is an 874% increase. It quickly becomes clear that wedding costs are far, far outpacing average inflation.
It also just confirms my theory that weddings are just for other people, because the one thing that actually didn't increase astronomically was the actual ceremony itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
The ceremony, although was was
sans the venue. Yeah, that was like a 800. Well, the ceremony is an 800% increase, but theoretically speaking, yeah, like it's the lowest of the of everything else, right? Like the lowest ceremony of itself, everything the officiant, else. The officiant, every, like the kind of basic stuff, you know.
Everything you do for other people, photography being the number one thing, the dress, the florals to get back to this, that's all for other people.
Agreed. I actually read, as I was doing my research, read like a Reddit forum on like wedding photographers talking, kind of griping about the demands that are on them now, because these wedding brides and grooms and whomever, they want pictures so fast, like they want them the next morning so they can post them to Instagram.
They're
this kind of like leeway of like letting a photographer do their work and then going through pictures and editing them and making them look great. Like there's people that are like, no, I want these the next day. So all, not only me, but everybody that went to my wedding can post pictures of my wedding on social media. It is for other people. Like the photos, you used to just be able to flip through like a photo album at your weird aunt's house. That's like, look at when I was at your, like that would be your, but not. Now it is for social media. It 100% is. 100%.
I remember making a post. I'm no longer on Instagram. It does fucking sends me down dark holes. But I remember, and you might remember this, I made a post joking, and I have these beautiful fucking photos of the wedding. And like two of them were basically just me. Like Cap was out, like out of focus in the background.
Yeah, and I posted
those.
I do remember those.
The caption was literally like, and I was joking at the caption, but I was like, was this the most expensive photo shoot or was this my wedding? Because it was just me and I fucking ate it up and I loved it and I still love it. But I'm like, I spent $50,000 on a beautiful fucking photo shoot is what I did personally. Mm-hmm. That was me. And I am not.
That's what you wanted out of it.
That is what I wanted. I wanted the photos. So, I mean, and I will say one more thing about the photos, too, is like, you know how long it takes me to edit photos. Like, I constantly get in trouble from our clients. Like, where the fuck are these?
And me. I'm like, Caitlin, where the fuck are these? Yep. Yeah. I won't sans myself from that at all.
And I think because when I'm editing photos, and I'm not saying like when I'm editing photos, I'm retouching the skin, and these are commercial photos too. So they're much different than wedding photography. I will say like they're different animals. They're different beasts, but the photos that we do in marketing, you are taking your time editing every single speck, every single fault in those photos, color correcting them. Now with wedding photographers and how many wedding photographers there are, I think to your point, people have become accustomed to just throwing a filter. That's all wedding. And I don't mean to like devalue wedding photographers because they do great work, but a lot of wedding photographers, maybe like when you're just starting out, all you're doing is throwing a filter over them and calling it a day. And so because of that, you're able to send them next morning. And so probably the other photographers that have been in the business for 20 years and are used to like really taking their time editing are like, what the fuck? No, I don't really approve of this. Like I'm taking my time color correcting and editing and doing all these things. But these new photographers that come on board are just throwing a filter and calling it a day and they're getting away with it. Because people love that
look.
Well,
there's the demand.
The style. Yeah. That's people want the, you know, washed out or possibly like really saturated sepia. So
but it's also the client's demands, right? Because it's no longer, hey, I want these photos to look great so I can put them in a book and look back and we can like have the I want these photos quick. So I can post them and then get all of the digital heroin that is likes and comments and engagement.
Totally. And again, calling myself out in this, I have not printed out, I do have not downloaded my wedding album. I do not know where my wedding album is in the cloud somewhere, is in the fucking cloud. And you know what I did? I downloaded all the photos that I wanted to post on Instagram. I printed out just recently, 3 years later, I finally printed out a couple that I want around the house. But you know what they were for? My digital footprint online. And this is why I'm not on Instagram anymore, because it makes me crazy. It makes me loco.
Yeah. It's the digital, it's the digital heroin. I joke, but it's like, that's what people really want. So like, how did we get here? Right. Like, how did this cost inflation, where did this demand and this ideation come from? We can trace it back. I mean, roughly the early 2000s, but I'm going to give you a specific date where this entire thing changed. February 15th, 2000, nearly 23 million people tuned in to watch a man in a tuxedo bent down on one knee proposing to a total stranger in a wedding gown. This was, do you know what it is?
No.
This was the season finale of Fox's new hit show, Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire?
Oh, I thought you were going to say Bachelor.
Bachelor is a spinoff of exactly this. So the Bachelor is ABC's competition to the original Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire show by Fox. 23 million people watched it, and thus began the era of reality marriage and dating shows. And this is prior to social media. So this is kind of the inception point for me, is this consumption of mass media of marriage and dating shows.
Zach, I truly feel manipulated in this very moment. You have really pulled it all together for me. Because, you know, there's it happened with Pinterest. It happened gradually over time. No, it happened because ABC sold us a dream of what love is supposed to be. And we all into that.
Ate it up. Let me just give you, because of the success of this show, let me just spawn of other reality dating and marriage shows. The Bachelor, talked about that. Temptation Island, Joe Millionaire, Playing It Straight, which was an alarming show. Let me give you the premise really quick, because this one, like, they had women bachelorette. They had one woman, but they had four straight men and nine gay men in there, and the gay men had to try to convince the straight woman to pick them even though they were gay. Very problematic show. Very problematic. 2004. Very problematic show. Yeah. Flavor of Love, Farmer Wants a Wife, A Shot at Love with Tila Tequila, Megan Wants a Millionaire, Love in the Wild, Ready for Loved, Married at First Sight, The Proposal, Love Island, and the most recently one, Love is Blind. While each had like their own niche and spin, you're right, Caitlin. What was the ultimate goal of all of these shows? Marriage. Was marriage, love,
that ring,
and marriage.
Baby.
Yeah, that ring. All of them were like, this is going for a proposal. Like The Bachelor ends every season with a proposal. Love is Blind has like mass proposals. Like that is what people are. It's like this mass consumption of media to idealize the dating and romantic side of like leading up to and the ultimate goal is proposal. Then once you get proposal, our classic The Learning Channel fed into the second half of that, where they entered the phrase, yes, say yes to the dress, 90 Day Fiancé. I'm sure I can name others. I got sick of researching that.
The Learning Channel. The fact that you called it The Learning Channel and not TLC.
Isn't that fucking hilarious? Isn't that fucking hilarious, though? I call it The Learning Channel all the time, because is it not the worst?
I have to be like, what is he talking about? Is he making a joke right now? What the fuck is The Learning Channel?
The Learning Channel brought you the likes of Say Yes to the Dress and 90 Day Fiance. The Learning Channel. They've skewed from their mission a little bit. But then
I think
these shows,
go
ahead.
Didn't it go through a rebrand? Wasn't it originally called like Tender Love and Care or something? Or
I don't know.
Okay. I just know. But now it's called The Learning Channel.
I don't know if it's I just know that was the original. It was called The Learning Channel. And then it just went off the rails and just went full gross. So what it did was it dramatized. So you have like these ideations and this content mass media about the dating process with the goal of proposal. Now you have all of these shows about the decision-making process leading up to the wedding, right? So picking the dress, you know, the 90-day fiance, what are you going to do when, you know, the bachelor party? Like there's so many mass media things about leading up to the marriage now that everybody gets their own idea and how they should be actually making the process. So it's just this massive, the entire from dating to marriage or to wedding is all just mass media out all the time, hitting people with ideas and thoughts and opinions about what they could do and what they want. Everybody wants to be the main character. So once they go through that process, they've seen it so many times on TV. Now mm-hmm. they're the main character. They're willing to, mm-hmm. to spend whatever to get their quote unquote dream wedding. And the last point I have, Caitlin, it's just very interesting to me that almost all of these shows end at the wedding. To your point, what happens in the marriage means nothing to TV. Nobody wants to see a fucking marriage. They just want to see the exciting times or dating to wedding. After that, you can fuck off.
Except for then you start having kids, enter the mommy bloggers and the family blogs. Yeah. But parenting. That's another story.
They don't have really shows about that unless you have 12 kids and then they're like, oh, look at this family. They don't really have shows about just a single family raising two people. Like
that is where you're wrong. On YouTube, it is the family vlogger is out of this world, which we can get into maybe at another time.
Fair.
The family vlog.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. That's a fair point. So like with this ideation, like dress fittings are now a whole event, right? Like we're going to the dress fitting. Like that's an event, right? Like the bridal shower is an event, the bachelorette, the bachelor party, like whatever it might be. Like there are so many events leading up to it that are just like maximized for their social media clout potential now. Mm-hmm. But this is this like all of these pieces and people putting together all of the details and intricacies of their dream wedding has created a new industry entirely, a new job, the wedding planner. Caitlin, did you have a wedding planner?
No.
You didn't? Good for you.
Oh, I'm sorry. You do actually. You are required by the event. Well, a lot of venues require you to have a day of coordinator.
That's different than I would say a wedding planner. I would call coordinators different than wedding
planners. Like are the ones like picking your color palette and your aesthetic. Yep. And I'm like, fuck that. I'm like, I have such control over that. I planned my own wedding, but
I didn't think you did. But with all of these details and these intricacies and people now, because of media building their dream wedding, it's ramped up to a $1.2 billion industry, specifically wedding planners. They ran a study in 2021. It was about 30%, about one in three weddings have a wedding planner because the details just become overwhelming. Right.
I get that. I do. That is wild to me because if I were to go with a wedding planner, my $50,000 wedding just turned into a $60,000 wedding, maybe 65, maybe 70. Like they're what, 10 grand? Expensive. Yeah.
At least.
And so it's like, if I can pick my own color palettes, and also I chose a venue that was like, do you want the black tablecloths or do you want the white ones? Like I didn't have, it was pick A or B. And so I purposely went that route where I was forced into creative love's confines, where I was forced into a box that I had to choose. I guess if I was just doing it in a random venue, like a farmhouse or something, you would have to pick the napkins and the, oh my God. Yeah. That would get fucking exhausting. Like you would have to pick what do you want, round tables or do you want square tables? What type of seating do you want? Do you want what color tablecloth? The dishes. You have to pick the dishes. You have to pick the silverware.
Make them hold the food. Who gives a fuck? Who's going to sit down and look? Oh, these napkins are beautiful. Let me wipe my dirty face with these. Why? Who cares?
I will kind of defend brides. I think a lot of brides have that mentality of like, no, do I care what the silverware looks like? No, but you still, if you are renting a random venue, like a farmhouse, and they're just like, cool, we're just providing you the venue itself. You have to bring in all of that other stuff. I think most brides are kind of like, I don't fucking care, but yeah, it is something I need to think about. I guess people do need to eat with a fork.
Yeah, but just bring them. Yeah, like, I don't care. Like, bring them from home. Who gives a shit?
You anyway, not having a BYOU at your wedding. Bring your own utensils.
No, plastic, paper plates, plastic forks in lieu of flowers so we can have the same negative green.
I was going to say, my jaw dropped.
No. Caitlin, so since you didn't get a wedding planner, you kind of alluded to it, but where did you get most of your wedding inspiration? Where did you get it?
Inspiration, Pinterest.
Yeah.
100%.
Instagram. 100%. Social media. As we stated many times on the show, social media, the wedding clout is what I'm calling it. The digital heroin of these likes and comments. The thing that I was very proud of, I wrote this, nothing draws engagement like engagement.
I'll give you that one, but I think you have your drugs wrong. I think you should call it the digital heroin. Yeah, I think it should be like digital crack, because heroin's it's like a downer, right? Like, you're just gonna sit back and relax, but like crack, you're wanting the next hit. I don't have experience smoking crack, just this level set.
Let's ask Hunter Biden. That's fair. Okay. Digital crack. Just like, okay, you need it all the time. You're fiending for it. And we've all seen it. The pictures of the hand with the ring get a bunch of likes and comments. Did you actually get engaged if you didn't post it to social media in today's day? No.
Do you want to know something?
I have a be honest question for you later, but yes, go ahead.
The ring photo just triggered something in me. The ring photo.
Yes.
There are many brides or like bride's friends that will tell the groom, let me know when this is happening so I can have my nails done.
Yes.
And the groom will make sure that the hands look good.
God forbid you get engaged and then get your nails done and then take a picture of it. No, it's got to be instant right there. Instant clout. Not only that, Caitlin, I know friends who have hired. Now you have to hire a photographer for the proposal.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So you can get social media pics.
I did that for my brother.
Yeah, but your family, that's different. Like,
I hired. I sought the photographer for my brother. I'm calling him out. I'm so sorry, Drew. You don't listen to this, but
Drew, you're great. You do your thing.
We love Drew.
I hate that, but Drew's great. I hate that. Like, you could, God forbid you have an intimate moment where it's like you're asking someone to spend the rest of your life and somebody's just, it's all for clout. So this is my be honest question, Caitlin. Be honest. Be honest. For you and your friends, what is truly more fulfilling for you, getting the ring or getting the validation from everybody else about the ring? Like getting the comments, asking to get seen. Like, what is more fulfilling?
Totally the latter. Totally.
Yeah. Fuck the person that asked you to marry them. More absolutely other people not asking about your ring. Yeah.
And it also just the ring itself. Like, the ring. And I am so guilty of this. I mean, like, everything that you hate about this, like, you hate me. Like, I am this. No. I'm calling myself out because, like I said, Cap and I look back on our wedding and we're like, fucking hell. Like, we were, again, just calling out the podcast name. Like, we were manipulated. I'm not disgusted. Like, you live and you learn. I was 20 something years old. But like my actions around being proposed to and all that stuff, like, of course, we had our friends video us when we got proposed to. Like, I remember, so bad. I'm gonna say this because you're gonna also. I have to just defend Drew a little bit, right? Like, Drew, I didn't mean to throw you under the bus. Please continue to give me great Christmas gifts. My friends, when we got proposed to, on one hand, I really liked the way Cap did it. It was at a ski hill and it was just at the end of the ski day. And it just so happens that my friends were also there. So not all my friends, a couple, a mutual couple.
Yeah.
And Cap handed the phone to our friend Matthew, and he had told Matthew, hey, I'm going to propose. And so Matthew was filming, and in the video, you can hear Cap say, and he gets down on one knee and we're engaged or whatever. And I like walk around like in front, I'm like basically blocking the camera, and you can hear him on camera say, move this way. And it was like the cringiest. I look back at that video, like there's a lot of things I love about it, of course, but I was just like, I'm so embarrassed on behalf of my husband that we were thinking that way in that time where it was like, this is the most important thing for us. Like this proposal is just to make sure that it's captured on camera the right way. Yep. And the angles were good. You can hear him say like, get out of the camera view, basically like move this way. He says something to that effect. So I just want to call myself out because we call a lot of people out on this podcast and we are haters. We are Kendrick Lamar haters, but I just have to remember that people are
self-awareness.
Self-awareness. Some people are sometimes out of their mind, and it's all a big. People can grow.
100% people can grow. But can I ask you something? How often do you go back and watch that video? Do you watch it frequently?
No.
Yeah, it's a one-time thing. It's like a flowers of the like. You remember it though, right? Like you remember the experience, but going back and watching the video, like it's going to be a posting. You're going to get a ton of likes. You're going to get a ton of comments and engagements and then back to real life.
But thank God that, you know, we had that photo that video to post on our Instagram, you know, and like, thank God we did that because... And neither of us have Instagram anymore. Like we have been mind fucked by social media that the two of us are like logging off. We're thinking about getting remarried again.
Yeah, but you're also, come on. I'm calling you out one more time. You're on TikTok now. It's not like never go social media. Okay. Well, I won't fight you, but okay. And let me tell you who else it's important for, Caitlin. So you're doing that video. Everybody's doing the post. Let me tell you the ingenious thing that you and I do every day is social media. Like everything you do on there, it tracks the content, the context, and your basic actions. And we actually have a targetable audience that we can send things to that say, it literally says recently engaged. And we can start sending them ads based on that life event. So everybody in their deep, dark need of sharing their proposal with everybody else triggers a window for advertisers. And this is why I think they can charge so much as well, because it's basically you have a window. This is why I think it's the perfect marketer's wet dream, right? You know, when somebody triggers their event, you're not telling people go get married, but they're going to post about it. They're going to do some kind of, nobody gets engaged quietly anymore. So that opens the window. And then you have the post-wedding window. You have an open date and a closed date of when they're willing to buy stuff. Right. And so you will just get peppered with ads. It's a marketing home run. If I had to run campaigns like that, where I didn't have to convince people to buy shoes that they needed, but they just said, hey, I want shoes now. I post it on social media. Hey, these are old shoes. I want new shoes. And we can start sending them ads. God damn, that's a marketer's dream right there.
They're playing with a budget that they're not usually playing with. So those shoes where
precisely.
Before they maybe would have spent $50, no more than $50 on a pair of shoes. Now they're like, fuck it. I'm going to send it for my wedding day. God, yep, I just remembered flashback to my shoes. I did the same thing. I was like, I want designer shoes. I wish you were marketing towards me because I never found those designer shoes.
Well, I do think to some degree, Caitlin, like that's something you're passionate about. This is where maybe let's unhate for a second and take the hater mask off.
Unhate myself.
Like, unhate. But to your point, you have always been very inspired by fashion, and that has been a big part of your life and a big inspiration for you. So if you're going to splurge on something, yeah, do it on a fashion piece that like, because it's still your day at the end of the day, but flowers and things for other people, bullshit. You don't need to spend on that stuff.
It all comes back to the flowers.
It does. That one really threw me for a loop. But then like as social media gets bigger and everybody's posting this stuff and advertisers are coming in 2010, we talked about it, enter Pinterest, who, you know, it's how they market it to us. Cause Pinterest comes to us as an agency is like, spend your clients' money on Pinterest. And I don't think we ever have. We're like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
but they're like, their positioning is, this is the only place where people, where our clientele looks to the future, not the past. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Which I think is an interesting piece to think about. Yeah. It's like the planning one. So like it's perfect for weddings. Like I said, a billion pins last year, 57 million boards created, but it's still not, it's only the 10th popular topic on Pinterest, which surprised me. Like it's number 10. Yeah.
Can are you gonna list
number one is?
Okay.
No, I just have number one.
Recipes.
No, that's a really good guess though. Home decor is number one.
I would have like thought that was top 10, but not number one.
I was surprised too. Yeah, but it really like with Pinterest, you can start pinning things. And like they said, every action is a marketer's dream. And so you see people posted about recently getting engaged. They're creating wedding boards. They're in planning mode. People and their incessant need to create their dream wedding is just making it like shooting dumb fish in a barrel as a marketer. Like they're just swimming around in a little and you just got to hit the same spot every single day and more people are going to be coming in. It's okay. It's just the marketing legwork is done. That's the
I'm going to ask you a question and I might be jumping the gun, but I take myself as an example, as I always do. And prior to my wedding, I was obsessed. Like I had to make my day my day. I mean, even the songs that I chose, again, a fucking flashback. Even the songs I chose were like fucking Tyga. Like, do you think my dad's dancing to Tyga? He's like, what the fuck is this music? But of course it had to be
down.
Yeah. It was a good time. But anyways, I digress. Before I was obsessed with planning this perfect day. Now I'm 3 years out, 3 years removed from my wedding. And I overall, I mean, despite everything I said, like despite like having a great time, it was a beautiful moment. I probably do regret getting that obsessed about a wedding and maybe spending so much time on something that is so
short-lived.
I was going to say, short-lived. And the whole thing has such a short life cycle versus marriage. And like nothing about my wedding personally, and I'm speaking, nothing about my wedding had anything to do with my marriage. And I wish and again, we are like, we're moving towards like even getting a new ring that actually means something to the both of us instead of just like, oh, this one looks really beautiful on Pinterest. So anyways, that's all to say, what's your suggestion for changing the mindset of baby Caitlin, 28-year-old Caitlin, who could not be convinced that she would regret this one day?
What a wonderful philosophical question. I think, you know, I mean, I approach it like me. I haven't been married and it's probably because of my opinions about marriage that are holding me up. But I don't give a fuck about the wedding because you're right. I don't know if you can teach it. Like, because mass media, you turn on, I bet you if we turned on the TV, we could find three dating shows and two wedding shows right now, like there's so much media and not to even get into like rom-coms and TV shows and like all these romantic, like love is so monetized and then weddings are the seen as the ultimate sign of love, so you just like those things are just incompatible. I don't know if you can get around it except to listen to people who have been through it. I think the biggest metric that I could tell anyone who feels like they're spending too much or getting too obsessed with their wedding is people spend $33,000 on their first wedding and $14,000 on their second wedding. There's a clear lesson learned in that first go around that they're like, I don't need all of this stuff. You know, just listen to the people who have been through it. Like, I don't know. It's not an easy solution, right? Mm-hmm. But to your point, I do think there's a trend going on with Gen Z, to your earlier point. Like looking ahead, there is some rumblings of a shift in this. So maybe we don't need to do anything about it, but Pinterest actually released like their, I talked about their 2024 wedding report, and they really emphasize this term quiet life weddings. Have you heard of this?
No, but I like sound of it.
Yeah. Quiet. It's like, it's essentially like, hey, it's more emphasizing the time spent with loved ones and de-emphasizing these big extravagant weddings.
The fact that this comes from Pinterest already gives me the ick. Doesn't this say like, hey, we're trying to create a new trend to make a different kind of money off of you? We're going to sell you how to bread maker instead of a diamond ring. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, they have like, you're exactly right. They're trying to appeal it to different advertisers and making advertisers think about different ways to approach weddings. But here's just some searches that they released that spiked in over the last year. Wedding dinner party is up 150% as search goes, like just a wedding dinner party. Small backyard wedding reception searches have increased 300%.
Okay.
Civil ceremony has increased 210%.
Okay.
Court wedding has increased 150%.
Wow.
And then things like small forest wedding up 170%, and then rural wedding is up 230%. So you can see like these kind of like shifts with this younger demographic to go more small, a lot of earthy stuff, like nature based. So you're not buying into these like extravagant venues. You're like going into the forest and go to a park and like getting married as well. Mm-hmm. And you would be interested to know, I pulled this out, vintage style weddings is coming back. Vintage wedding rings is up 430%. 70s wedding style vintage, or 70s wedding dress vintage, up 420%. Victorian wedding dress vintage is up 170%. I don't know if they really know what they're looking for, if you've ever seen Victorian dresses, but 70s and '70s inspired wedding is up 1800%. 70s inspired wedding and vintage inspired wedding cake is up 310%. So people are going, almost the pendulum is swinging back to the 70s, where they want to spend less, have a little intimate gathering, not a big old fancy wedding. So maybe it's just kind of the natural taste of people, because weddings are so based on trends and tastes and what's happening. Maybe it's swinging more that other way, you know?
Who knows? Oh my God, I fall into those already. I was just on Pinterest. I told you that we're thinking about like redoing our rings to something that's like less flashy. And I was looking up vintage style rings, like antique style wedding rings.
You're in
again, just fucking leaning into just you are the target demographic.
We'll do something about, you know, sports betting apps, and I'll be the target demographic.
I bet I'm the target there too. Like, God,
I bet you are.
Is there a mold I don't fit into? Fucking hell. I try so hard not to fit into the mold that I'm fitting every mold. Fucking
Everything recovered. All right. That kind of like, that brings us to the end of weddings. And I don't know if there's any pure solution to this. I think it's just recognition from the people, like you said, that the wedding's a day, the marriage is forever. And if you can just, as you're making your decisions, just keep that in mind, focus on the marriage. The wedding can be fun, but I think you just got to listen to the people who have been through it to really know what to prioritize. Right. So in that respect, Caitlin, in our capital, let's put our capitalistic hats on, because we're going to build a campaign. We're going to build a campaign for a wedding planning service specifically targeting Gen Z. So knowing that Gen Z is going a little smaller, a little more cost effective, a little more vintage, we're going to create a wedding planning company. So our basic campaign prompt is, how do we build a campaign that gets Gen Z people their dream wedding while being price conscious? So first question, Caitlin, what channels do we target? How are we going to find these Gen Z people? Where are we going to live? Where are we going to send our ads?
Gen Z just lives on TikTok.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. I don't think Gen Z has a major Pinterest thing.
I think
we have to be in the classics, right? We have to be in Pinterest just to run in the background. But the issue with TikTok is I don't know how detailed their targeting is for life events, right? I feel like as marketers, we don't want to spend ads on people that aren't or have been are not just recently or have been engaged for a while or already married or not engaged. There's a very small window of people that we got to hit. So it depends on TikTok based on the content that they have. So maybe there's some targeting to say engaged, blah, 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 whatever we can do. If we can find those people, TikTok all day. If not, I think Instagram and all of that bullshit.
Definitely not Facebook.
I don't think Facebook. I think Facebook will be a waste of money now. I think all the people on Facebook are already married or getting remarried and they don't need planning services. So demographics then. Demographics, who are we targeting?
Well, you said Gen Z, right?
Gen Z, but there's more options for demographics.
Gen Z, females is what I would go.
I think that's a home run. Do you think there's any, can you make an argument for targeting males about wedding planning services?
Yeah, it's interesting. The thought crossed my mind because if Gen Z shows us anything, they show us that they are adverse to playing by societal norms. So would it be the male to take up the lead on wedding planning or at least some portion of it? I don't know if we're there yet.
I think we can break through their feed a little bit easier because you know that the women's feeds are going to be inundated with other people. So I want to walk this alley of trying to sell wedding planning services to men. Not saying all marriages are, hetero.
Yeah, no, I like it.
As far as targeting on advertising goes, let's try to see what we got here. So here's my thought. Do you have a messaging direction that you're thinking of if you're selling wedding planning services to men? Do you have anything? Because I have an idea.
Oh, tell me yours.
I did not plan this. It just popped in my head. I think we run an ad on TikTok for recently engaged people on the men's side. That basically is the messaging is hire a wedding planner and you don't have to put up with all of the nonsense decisions that are going to be happening your way. Do you care about the silverware? No, let the wedding planner do it. Do you care about the table settings? No, let the wedding planner do it. We almost say save yourself a headache.
Yeah.
It plays into the tropes and I know it does. It plays into those tropes, but at the same time, it feels like a good sell to say, hey, have someone else pitch the ideas. You can just say yes or no. You don't have to be a part of the actual details.
Yeah. And maybe one step further, you could say prioritize the party, not the silverware.
Love it. Love it. There's our tagline.
Yeah.
There's our tagline.
So we need
prioritize the party.
Not the P. Not the.
I think we switch it out. Prioritize the party, not the silverware. Prioritize the party, not the.
Oh yeah, it's a rotating.
Not the centerpiece. Prioritize the party.
Yeah.
Not the invitations.
We can just go
through a slew of those little decisions that wedding people have to make. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it.
And I do including men in on this too, because I was. When you said come up with a tagline, I was thinking something about ease, make this as easy as possible. It's kind of two clicks and you're there and you've designed a wedding.
I like it. Yeah. Yeah. I love it. There's our campaign. Call us if you want us to run a wedding service.
What's it called?
I actually don't. our wedding planning service would be you're making a mistake. That LLC.
Mine is men in shirts.
Men in shirts?
Because why not?
Okay. Just like you would assume they would be shirtless, but no, actually we have shirts.
We have okay. shirts. Fair just enough. Like the most basic things. Fair. Or like men in shoes, men in socks. Like, I don't know.
Is our wedding planning service going to dress them? Is that the what you're thinking of? I think it's targeting the men to get them to talk to their partner like, hey, we should meet with this planning company because it's going to
The real decision maker being the woman. Yeah.
We're going through the back door. Because that's not going away. That's not going away. Right. Like that's the real end of decision. Final say is not. But what we do is find the back door of the decision making cycle trying to get them to go to their partner and say, hey, we should just maybe meet with them because I'm exhausted by looking at 35 different color palettes. Maybe we should, there's going to be that inevitable moment where you bicker and you just like are at your wit's end. And that's like, when we come in to say,
I like it. Hit them when they're down.
Yeah. That's the angle. Like just wait till they get to their wit's end on decision making, and then we swoop in and take the rest of it. And that's our price conscious. Don't hit them right away. Maybe get the notice of their engagement and start hitting them like maybe 60 days after, maybe 90 days after. And then we're like,
and that's real.
You're having a hard time.
Because I will say that my budget started off significantly lower on the get-go. And then by looking at 1,000 wedding dresses, I was like, fuck it, whatever this costs. Like, I can't just keep like looking for this specific price point. I'm just like, fuck it.
Yep.
That's pretty much the whole wedding. It's literally the whole wedding.
We hit them in the fuck it mode. Yeah, we hit them in the fuck it. Like, we're already 20 over. What's another 5? Like, fuck it. Let's.
That's the name of it. I like it. That's the name. Fuck it.
Fuck it. Fuck it. So, wedding planning services. Well done. Well, like Caitlin, that wraps it up. For us, we will be back next week. Thank you all for listening. Bye.
Bye.
For those of you with short attention spans, we have social media channels that play clips, give updates, and add some fun to your feed. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Manipulating the Masses Pod. If you've enjoyed the show, be sure to leave us a 5-star review as this helps us manipulate the algorithm to find new listeners like you. Thank you. Stay sane, people.